Hey guys, welcome to today's message. In the next few weeks, I want to share something that's really on my heart, and I believe God has been stirring up in me now and actually in the past as well. And it's the issue of mental health. I know we hear about it spoken quite a lot, but I really do believe that mental health is on God's heart and that God really cares about it. You know, we're living in a world where we're seeing young people's mental health just deteriorating. My wife is a teacher, and some of the great students she deals with and some of the really good kids are really struggling at the moment with their mental health. I know we've seen it in our own children. We've been encouraging them, but at times during this pandemic, it's been really, really tough. And then I know for adults, as a pastor, I get a front row seat on people's lives. And I've just noticed the amount of people who are just struggling. There's some people who I'm messaging on a fairly regular basis, just trying to encourage them, because of different circumstances, all completely different, but their mental health has taken a real downturn during this period and a real struggle. And I believe that God has called us as a church of Burzum Elim really to step up our commitment to helping people to grow emotionally and spiritually. And the problem is, if we just concentrate on like our spiritual side and we don't look at the mental health side and our emotional well-being, then we're going to be ineffective Christians. And I believe God has called us to care about the emotions, to care about our soul, our spirit, our mind, everything, our body, you name it, the full works. And it's not just about trying to be more spiritual, but actually sometimes we just need to get back to reality and to try and support each other and grow our emotional and spiritual resilience and our mental health resilience. And the reason it's so important to me is that, you know, for my life, if I'm really honest, I've suffered quite a lot. Like I have of mental health sort of struggles. I've never been extreme anyway, but it was probably started when I was 18. I remember I developed bulimia. And at the time, the form of bulimia took the form of running. And I would run everywhere. I run now, but I don't run for calories now. Back then, I used to exercise for calories. I'd work out how many calories I'd eaten, and then I'd try and run. And the one day, I injured my leg, and I found myself sitting over the toilet trying to vomit. And I knew I had an issue. And the great advice of the time, I spoke to a couple of people, and one person turned around and said to me this, "Oh, Jim, we'll get that sissy, girly thing out of you. We'll sort it out." And I'm like, what? Really, I was in anguish. And so all it made me do was just not want to tell anyone that I was suffering. And then I shared a cup about my depression I went through 3 years ago. It's on the church website, and I encourage you to go and listen to it. Try and help when I went through a really hard situation 3 years ago. But my first like massive time when I had to end up actually on medication, mental health, was I ended up with a bad anxiety 7 years ago. And I got to a stage where I was really causing damage to people around me. I reacted badly to a situation and I just broke. And I remember finding myself sitting in a car park. And if you live in Stoke-on-Trent, you'll know where I'm talking about, Akedale. And I was broken. I was crying my eyes out. I'd gone out of the meeting. I was just absolutely in pieces. And I texted my regional leader, Kevin Pete, and I said, "I can't do this anymore. I need help." And he gave me the great advice. He said, "Jim, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to go and see a doctor." So I went and saw a doctor. And as I went to the doctor, I'm thinking, great, the doctor's just going to tell me, "You're okay, you're normal, everything's all right," and send me home. You know what the doctor did? The doctor gave me some medication. And I was like, what? I can't take medication. But he said, "Jim, I want you to take this medication because it's going to help take the edge off what you're feeling." Now, all that did to me at the time was this. It made me feel like a failure. Because I thought, I'm supposed to be a pastor, I'm supposed to be a Christian, I'm supposed to be the leader of my family, I'm the man of the house, and I'm here popping pills. And it was not the thing that I wanted to do. I felt like a complete failure. I felt, just like I failed at being a Christian. And it didn't help that I went and spoke to one of my friends about this, and my friend said, "Oh, Jim, oh no, what do you mean on that?" He said, "You do realize this is going to be held against you." And actually later on, when we were chatting a few years later, he said, "Oh, Jim, you know, they're probably still going to hold this against you because you were on pills many years ago." And it really affected me. Because, you know, again, someone was trying to help me, but they weren't helping me. The But when the doctor handed me over those pills, he said to me this. He said, Jim, the reason I'm giving you those pills is this, is I need you to deal with what's going on underneath the surface so that you can get through it. Because those pills are going to take the edge off your anxiety. And he says, once they've taken the edge off your anxiety, you can start dealing with the big issues. And those words really held on to me. But then he said something else which scared me. He said, Jim, if you don't deal with the issues and the cause roots, he said, you're going to be on the pills for much longer in your life. And you know what? Psalm 43 verses, Psalm 43 verse 5 and Psalm 42 verse 11. It says this, why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? And in that journey, it took me on this journey reading the psalm. Because I had to sort of ask myself, why am I feeling this way? Why am I actually feeling the anxious? What is causing the problems? What is causing the stuff to go on within me? I couldn't just blame other people. I had to do some real deep soul searching. And it really made me do three things. The first thing it did was made me be honest. I could no longer hide from some of the big issues that were simmering under the surface. The next thing was this. I had to start identifying the problems that were going on. And the final thing was I had to start dealing with them. And when I started to do those things, when I started to ask myself the question that was in the psalm, which appears in two psalms, it must be really important if it appears twice. When I started asking those questions, I could start dealing with the issues. You know, as a church, this is so important for us to start helping people to grow emotionally as well as grow spiritually. Because God doesn't divide us into little bits. There's no dualism in with God. But God cares about our emotional health. And I want to encourage you as you listening and us as a church, that we need to really start caring about our mental health. We can no longer bury it and hide it. Because if you do, it'll be like a volcano. And what happened to me, it will explode out. And the consequences will be dire. So, how do we deal with it? I just want to quickly look at some of the stuff. The one way we don't deal with it is this. Some Christians look at that verse in Psalm 43, verse 5, and they say, why is my soul so downcast? Why is it so disturbed within me? And then they look at the next verse. The next verse said this. It says, put your hope in God. And their answer to it is this. Well, I've got to put my hope in God. So all I've got to do is say a little prayer. Please, God, bless me. Please take away my anxiety. Everything will be okay. Well, reality, it doesn't work like that. And that's kind of how I felt as an immature Christian, as a young Christian. I thought if I just prayed it away, it would disappear. I thought I'm going to blab it and grab it. Okay, I'm going to grab good mental health and I'm going to just pray for it quickly. But it didn't quite work like that. And when I read this verse, it's a real soul-searching verse. It says, my soul, why are you so downcast? It says, what reason are you feeling this way? It's almost like the author didn't quite know why he was feeling depressed. You know, 3,000 years ago, they were suffering depression. You know, it's not just a new phenomenon for this year, for 2020. It's been going on for years. And maybe we've just dismissed it and we've not really embraced the subject and not really talked about it. But the author here, the son of Korah, who wrote this verse, was being really honest. He's saying, come on, why am I feeling this way? Why am I a mess? Why is my mental health going? And then when he says, put your hope in God, do you know what I think? I don't think he's saying just pray it away. I think what he's saying is, okay, it's only through putting our hope in God that we could work through this. And that God is our only hope out of our mental health anguish. And I still firmly believe this today. Because when I started looking at this verse, when I started going in, it meant this. When I started saying, my soul, why are you so downcast? I had to start looking at what was causing my problems. What was the root of the issue? That the doctor told me. The doctor and the Bible are lining up here. I had to be honest. You know what? The problem with being honest is often we suffer from cognitive dissonance. And cognitive dissonance means that, you know, we disconnect with what really happened and we sort of justify everything. And so, you know, you might say, oh, the reason I'm like this is because of this and it's because of that. So I can't really change it. I'm just basically just giving yourself over to being a victim of your circumstances. but you know, for our mental health, God says to you, you are not a victim of your circumstances. You cannot keep living like a victim of your circumstances. There is a way through it. You can grow emotionally and you can get through the mental health anguish that you're suffering right now. There is hope. There's a way through. But to get through there, you need to be honest. And I just want to pause one moment and say, everything I'm talking about today, I'm talking about some serious issues that affect us. But for some people, if you've had major abuse and major trauma, what I'm going to share with today, you're probably going to need professional help to help you through, okay? You're not just going to be able to chat to your mate to get through it. Some of you are going to really need professional help. And I want to encourage you, just want to emphasize here, this is not like a Jim's advice of how to get through it. This is just what I think is good advice from the Bible. But if you need proper help, go and get it, okay? Just want to add that in there. But you know, when we start being honest, it means we have to start facing up to what's really going on. You know, how many times have you just tried to forget something was really, really happening? You know, sometimes you hide away, you pretend that it's not really going on. You know, my daughters at the moment, when they do something naughty, quite often they'll cry or they'll run away or they'll try and pretend. They'll say, I'm not talking to you. Oh, let's go on. I've said I'm sorry, I'm not talking to you. And often as a dad, I'm not even shouting at them. I'm just saying, I need to explain to you why what you did is causing a problem. But they're so busy denying what went on and hiding away from the fact that they can never actually deal with the problem. And all that happens is they do the same thing over and over and over again. You know, as Christians and as human beings, we often struggle to be honest. You know, we often struggle to be honest about what we're going through. Number one is because we're scared that if we're honest we actually open the Pandora box of our emotions, we're never going to be able to put ourselves back in. Number two is because we don't want to face the reality of what's happened and we're sort of trying to protect ourselves. And number three is because we don't want to admit to God what's going on. And we don't want to admit to God and also others around us that we're a mess. And I love this. John Mark Comer just sums up beautifully how God feels about you. He says this. He said, God is not shocked by your emotions. No matter how messed up your soul may be, God is right there with you listening. And you know what? We don't need to hide. If you're suffering from mental anguish, you don't need to hide away, especially not from God, which is often the person that we hide from. Because God says, I'm with you. I know you're messed up. But he says, I died for you whilst you were messed up. And I love you in spite of your mess. And I want to help you through to become the person you need to be. But the thing we have to do firstly is to be honest about our situation. The next thing we have to do is this. We have to identify the problem. It's right saying, I'm in a mess. Oh! Terrible and start crying and falling apart. We actually start identifying why you're in a mess. Okay, what's put you in this place? What's caused you to get into this mess? You know, when I suffered from anxiety, what really tipped me over the edge was an email. I was away on holiday. I had a Sunday off. I didn't have many Sundays off. And someone kicked off about a rotor. And they sent a nasty email to me and they sent it to somebody else as well. And it made me look like an idiot. And it wasn't actually my fault what went on. But it was just, that was it. I just broke. Absolutely broke. It broke me. Now, the real thing is that email wasn't the problem of my anxiety. It was just one thing added on to something else. You know, it was many things built on top of each other to create the problem that I was going through. But that email just sparked off something in me that was going on deeper inside. Now, I've really honest here. One of the issues that was going on in me was I never quite got over my mum's death. There was a lot of issues around my mum's death that arose that really brought up a lot of questions, a lot of emotions within me. And I really struggled and that was really affecting me. And then my daughter Sophia had just been born and that had reminded, almost, I don't know if it reminded me of what I was going through. Then I had issues with other members of my family and by having Sophia, it just suddenly brought back a lot of that stuff into my life. It was a really happy time having my daughter. I loved her to pieces. But also inside me, I was an emotional wreck because of some of the stuff that I hadn't dealt with in the past. There was lots of unforgiveness in my heart that I had to deal with. I was the most unforgiving person out there. I used to say, if you cross me once, you'll never cross me again, because I'll never forgive you to give you that chance to do it again. It was something I had to really deal with. And there was stuff that was really affecting, that was bubbling up under the surface. But when I identified the problem, I had to start working with the problem. I had to start really dealing with it. Because you know what? When you start identifying the problem, it's okay identifying the problem. It's okay seeing what the issues are. But unless you deal with it, it's not going to make a difference. Imagine if you went to your mechanic and said to the mechanic, what's the problem? And your mechanic says the problem is your clutch has failed, but then didn't do anything about it. What's going to happen? You still can't use your car. You still got the same problem. But once you identify what was going on, you've then got to start dealing with it. Because if you don't, you're still going to be broken. And you know, for me, that was a real struggle. I had to deal with issues that I really didn't want to deal with. And actually, if I'm honest with you, I had to deal with issues that I probably felt that I wasn't strong enough to deal with. But I knew I had to deal with them for the sake of my marriage, for the sake of my daughter, for the sake of my ministry, for the sake of my relationship with God, for the sake of my friendships, for the sake of relationship with my family. It was more than just me. Because if I kept going the way I was going, I was going to constantly be broken over and over and over again. I had to deal with the issues. I had to say, Jim, that stuff that is affecting you, you've got to deal with it. And I did. And I started to have honest conversations. You know, I sat down with some amazing spiritual mentors. One of them hit me with some major home truths. I really didn't like them. But the words he spoke made a huge difference in my life. It made me look beyond the superficial. No longer could I say, oh, well, it'll be all right. I'll get through it. I had to say, no, Jim, you might not get through this if you don't deal with it. And the thing I love with Jesus is this. Is Jesus identified issues in people's lives that they didn't even realize about themselves. You know, when he's healing the paralyzed man, when his paralyzed man, he can't get into Jesus' meeting, Jesus is preaching, they drop him, his friends drop him through the roof, he lands on the floor in front of Jesus. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. He didn't say you are healed, he just said your sins are forgiven. And I love it, because Jesus knew that the root of his problem was his sin. And Jesus dealt with the issue. And the same when you have the Samaritan woman, when he starts speaking to her by the well, he knew the root of a lot of her issues were the fact that she'd been rejected by so many men and been divorced by so many men. He, rather than just skirt around the issue, Jesus goes straight for the point. He saw what the issue were and tries to deal with it. You know, when there was a guy who was crazy and lost his mind, Jesus knew it was the demons inside him and cast the demons out. When there was a chap who was blind, who everyone thought was being punished for something, Jesus looked at the issue and he said, that guy, he's done nothing wrong. Jesus got to the crux of the issue. And so often in our mental and emotional health, we avoid actually getting to the real issue. And we try and treat the symptoms, not the issue. But unless you treat the issue, you're still going to have the symptoms. And you can try and treat the symptoms, but they're going to keep popping up again if you haven't got the underlying cause sorted out. And you really have to deal with it. And the problem with most of us as Christians is we like to be heads in the sand. We like to pray things away, or we just like to tell everyone about our problems. I met those people who like to have the problems. Or we just try and dismiss and pretend they're not there, like ostriches. The only problem with being an ostrich is this. Ostriches are vicious animals. You know, an ostrich can cut you open with one swipe of its claw. And the reality is, hurt people hurt people. And unless we start dealing with the root causes that are underneath everything, we're going to end up hurting people. And guys, I've seen it in families. We've seen it quite closely in our families' situations. I've seen it with friends, where hurt people hurt people. And unless we start dealing with the hurt that's in us, unless we start dealing with those deep-rooted issues, they're going to keep flaring up. You know, when I started dealing with those issues, I mean, when I started of being honest, when I started facing the issues that were there and I started dealing with them, it made a huge difference in my life. You know, it liberated me. The weight of everything that I'd been carrying, it felt as if it was being lifted off. I then felt I had strategies to build into my life. I worked out ways to deal with them. So for example, me now, I worked out that exercise was a great way of dealing with my anxiety. I was a bit lazy slob when I was suffering with it. I started playing football, now I do running. And I found ways to help me through to deal with it. I worked on some other things I'm going to share the next few weeks, some practical steps to help me through. I sorted my diet out. I sorted just the way that I thought out and the new thinking pattern in my head. But if I hadn't been honest, if I hadn't faced what I was actually identifying the issues that I was going through, and if I hadn't dealt with it, I would still be a wreck today. And guys, I want you to ask this question to yourself. Why is my soul so downcast? Why is my soul so downcast? Now I want to finish with the words of a song from Cody Kearns. I encourage you to read it, listen to it later on. It's called Run to the Father. And he says this in the words. He said, I've carried a burden for far too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. I see it now. I'm laying it down. And I know that I need you. I run to the Father. I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding. No reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again. My soul, why are you so downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. Guys, run to God. Run to God. God cares about your emotions. God cares about your anguish, and you need to go to him with that deep stuff that you're suffering with. I need to say, God, I can't do it anymore. Help me to live that life and live it to the full like you promised that you came to bring. Tell him how you feel. Come share with anything spoken to you today. Come share it with me or share it with a loved one. Start being honest. What is really going on with the issues that are down below? And the next week as well, we're going to explore some issues with do with family, and the week after, stuff that's caused to you. And we're going to slowly get a bit deeper into this. But hopefully as we go on this journey together, we're going to come out the other side stronger, emotionally more resilient, ready, whatever the world has to throw at us. Be blessed. I'm praying for you.